Well, everybody, welcome to episode 354 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Legacy Real Estate of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When it comes to real estate, experience matters. At Legacy Realty, we pride ourselves on having one of the largest and most experienced teams in Ankeny with over 75 agents strong. As one of the top brokerages in the metro, our local agents bring unparalleled knowledge of the market to help make you the best decisions for your home sale or purchase. Whether you're buying your first home, upgrading, or looking to sell, our team is ready to provide expert guidance every step of the way. Backed by the national strength of LPT Realty, we offer cutting-edge tools and marketing strategies to ensure your success. Legacy Realty of Iowa, your trusted partner for buying or selling in Central Iowa. All right, we're going to talk a lot of Ankeny Christian Academy sports today. In a little while, I'll be visiting with ACA softball coach James Crosby and two of his senior players. But right now, we're going to focus on ACA baseball. To my left is the head coach of the squad, and he has guided the Eagles to a 42-16 record over the last two seasons, including a 27-5 mark this year. He is Conrad Christensen. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Very good. Thanks for having me back.
You bet. And to my right is one of the team's senior leaders. He's batting .346 with one home run and 37 RBIs. And on the mound, he has compiled a 6-1 record with a 2.65 ERA and three saves. He has Lucas Erickson. Lucas, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, I'm just going to bounce some questions back and forth between the two of you. Coach, your team has advanced to a Class 1A district final on Saturday by posting a pair of victories earlier this week. You guys rolled to a 21-0 win over Mormon Trail in four innings on Monday, and then you came back on Tuesday and you held on to beat Madrid 8-7 for your eighth consecutive victory. Now, Tuesday's game was a back-and-forth affair, and Madrid did rally for three runs in the seventh inning, and they had the tying run on second base before you guys were able to close it out. You know, that one's probably a little bit more exciting than you would have liked, huh?
Yeah, definitely. As we talk after the game, they were expecting that. But, you know, you feel a little bit of a cushion. You're feeling pretty good. And you just know a team like that's not going to give up. Anything can happen at any time. And we talk about just being resilient. And one thing this team has done ever since really the last year playoff run is they know how to win. They find a way to win. And we had talked before the game, whether it's jump out early, which we did, whether it's in the middle of the game, which after they tied it, we did. And then at the end of the game, this, you know, finding a way, holding on. So yeah, this team is winners, you know, and then they find a way. I never doubt them. I just said they're going to find a way to get it done. And they did.
And Lucas, your team used three pitchers in that game. Landon Curtis got the start, and he pitched into the fourth inning before Tyler Davis came in, and he did a nice job over the next two and two-thirds innings. But then he allowed a pair of walks to open the seventh, and then Coach brought you in to close it out. The Tigers did score one run on a wild pitch, and then Emerson Bridgewater got his fourth hit of the game, a double to right center that drove in two runs, and that closed the gap to 8-7 before you retired Colby Owens on a pop fly in foul territory to end the game. Now, you told me afterwards that when you came into the game, you knew that the umpire had a smaller strike zone, but you were confident that you could get the job done. So did you have to pitch a little differently knowing that maybe the strike zone was a little smaller than usual?
Yeah, I think I had to choose my spots a little more carefully and try and pitch a little more contact and trust my teammates behind me to make some plays, which they did, especially more on that last pop-up. And just know that the whole goal coming in as a reliever is to throw strikes and then trust your teammates.
Well, Coach, your three pitchers did combine to allow 11 walks because of that smaller zone. Do you think they had a little trouble adjusting to it?
Yeah, a little. We talked after, and then again, not making excuses for anyone, but Bridgewater plus R3, if you look at the stats, I think it's like 70% strike throwers throughout the year. So all four of them had, you know, trouble hitting that tight zone. I let them know that, hey, you know, in addition, we had, I think, six errors, which is definitely not us. So I told the pitchers, you know, kind of just scratch that one. Yeah, look good in your bullpens. Keep hitting your spots like we do, and we're going to defend. We know we're going to defend a lot better in the district championship. So confidence in them. I don't think there's anything mechanically that needs to be changed. It's just one of those nights where, you know, umpire wasn't calling them. Thought their composure was well, and you just find a way.
But yeah, fortunately for you guys, the Madrid starter also had some trouble adjusting. Bridgewater entered the game with a 1.44 ERA, but he was able to get just four outs before being knocked out in the second inning. That's when you guys scored four runs to build a 7-3 lead. Lucas, I know Coach told me that you guys prepared really hard to face Bridgewater. So what was the team's approach at the plate against him? What kind of pitches were you looking for?
We were just knowing that he has a really good fastball, and then he likes to get to a slider or a curve or whatever it is to try and get you on a swing and miss. And then he has a high fastball with two strikes he tries to elevate. So we're just trying to pick our pitch early in the count and get on top of the fastball and do some damage.
Well, Brody Butler came up big in the win. He went 2 for 4 with a double and 4 RBIs. Lucas Erbel went 2 for 3 and drove in 2 runs, including what proved to be the game winner in the 4th inning. Both of those guys had sat out Monday's game, but it was nice to have him back in the lineup, wasn't it, Coach?
It really was. You know, back at full strength. Butler was such a great bat-the-ball guy and great baseball acumen on the base pass. He actually, after he got the second, he stole third on throw-in. And then Herbal's just such a weapon with his speed. There's been, I think, 3 or 4 games, and this is another one where he kind of won the game with his speed. You know, infield single or single up the middle, steal second, steal third, come home on the pass ball. We beat Panorama earlier in the year, 1-0, and it was a double play. He scored from second on the double play that they made.
Wow.
That was the only run the entire game. So he's just so great to have.
Well, Davis also had a big night at the plate. He went 2 for 3 with a walk. He scored 3 runs. He knocked in another. He also had 3 of the team's 8 stolen bases for the season. Your team has now stolen 170 bases in 180 attempts. So you're averaging more than 5 steals a game. You know, the running game is a big part of your offensive attack, isn't it, Lucas?
Yeah, it is. We have a lot of players that are just a lot faster, and it's definitely one of the more focused parts of our approach. Is just, we know that if they get on base, they're going to be on second, and that puts them in scoring position for the people behind them to drive it in. So it's really nice being able to bat behind some of those guys.
And Coach, you mentioned Herbal speed. He leads the team with 38 steals, and he has yet to be caught stealing this season. So does he pretty much have a green light anytime he's on base?
Oh, yeah. And yeah, the other, we're up by 3-0. We give up 3. And, you know, that very next inning, we're a little tight. And Tyson Fincham gets on. And then, just like Erickson said, with this team, you know, where in years past might have been kind of conservative, like, don't want to lose my leadoff guy, I send him again to third. And then, you know, we get it. And then that just kind of got us rolling. It allows me to be a lot more aggressive as a coach, kind of regardless of the score. And that helps. That's us play, you know, Ankeny Christian baseball versus kind of, you know, getting tight and then being conservative. So, yeah, he's such a weapon, but really up and down the lineup, we can really run.
Well, Lucas, you've been a key player on the team now for 3 seasons. The Eagles advanced to a sub-state final in each of the previous 2 years before falling to Linville solely. You know, how do you think this team differs from the last 2 squads, or do you think there are a lot of similarities between this team and the last 2?
I think that the years before, we definitely have some of the same framework and groundwork that we had, but I think this year's team is just taking it to a whole nother level. And with our speed and with our bat-to-ball skills and being able to put the ball in play, makes us a lot more dangerous offensively than we have been the last few years. And then our fielding's just continued to be terrific, along with our pitching, throwing strikes, and trusting the fielders.
Well, your team will now host AGWSR in the district final on Saturday at North Polk at 7 p.m. The Cougars are 14-12 after advancing with a 6-5 win at Fort Dodge St. Edmund, and they also had to hold on for the win as the Gales scored all 5 of their runs in the 7th inning. So, Coach, what do you know about the AGWSR?
Well, we were fortunate to have Eli actually head up there was a Monday or so ago and watch them against St. Ansgar's ace. So we knew we might run into them and maybe St. Ansgar. And Eli's got a great, great detailed scouting report on him. You know, just off the top of my head, a really good pitcher that's going to throw into that low 80s with some a good breaking pitch, kind of like with Bridgewater. So we'll kind of keep that same preparation. I believe he's a freshman. So we can kind of try to work that if we can. And it's very scrappy. There was a lot of small ball with them and St. Ansgar back and forth. So our bunt defense is going to be key. Worked on that yesterday after not a great fielding performance against Madrid. And then so we're going to be aggressive ourselves. It's going to be a game where, you know, it's going to be back and forth. They're going to make runs and they're going to make it tough. So that's what we're going to prepare for.
Well, I know that's a team that you beat 19-3 a year ago, but you probably can't take too much away from that game, can you?
No, in fact, Landon Curtis was just like, you know, shout out to a group of me, like he completely forgot about it. I remember them coming in. That's a real cold, rainy night. I think they were on their 4 or their 5, and he didn't throw very many strikes. And I can remember Crosby pitched that game for us, threw strikes and did great. They're the same team, but obviously a whole year developed. They played a really tough conference, had a really great year. So it's going to be nothing even to look back at that game, honestly. It's going to be a whole new team.
And Lucas, you told me after the game the other night that you think this team can go a lot farther in the postseason. You guys did commit 5 or 6 errors on Tuesday, but you said if you can clean up those defensive mistakes, you know, maybe that game wouldn't have been as close as it actually was. So do you think those errors were, you know, kind of an aberration for this team? And do you expect a much cleaner game on Saturday?
Yeah, I do. I definitely think that was abnormal and just maybe let the game get to us a little bit and got all caught up in the excitement and just not trusting our fundamentals and our basics. I definitely think that if we clean that up, that we can beat any team in the district, and that our team is definitely one of the top fielding teams in 1A.
And Coach, you told me the other night that the pitching plan was to keep Curtis under 90 pitches, and you were able to do that as he came out after throwing 72. Now, I don't want you to reveal your plans for Saturday unless you want to, but you'll have all of your pitchers available, won't you?
We will. And, I mean, the plan is you got to win this one. So, you know, wherever we start, if he's riding it, we're going to ride him out. You know, as much as we would love to have all three again for the next round, if we got to burn them, we got to burn them. Our attitude is win the one you're in, no matter what. So we'll have a plan. We have a plan. And, you know, it's great to have the three great pitchers. But, yeah, we'll go with we plan on him. If he's doing great, we'll ride him.
And Lucas, I'm sure you'd love to get the ball, you know, anytime, whether it's as the starter or coming on in relief. You've been used in both of those roles extensively this season, you know, so you're comfortable doing either one, aren't you?
I am, yeah. It's definitely been a little bit of adjustment coming out of the bullpen this year. I never really got to do that last year. I started a lot of games, but mentality is a little different. There's a lot more strikes coming out of the bullpen, but it's definitely fun to be able to do whatever it takes to help this team win.
Well, Coach, I know you want your players to just take things one game at a time, but as the coach, you always need to plan ahead a little bit. If you guys win on Saturday, you would advance to Tuesday's sub-state final against the winner of a game between number 3 St. Ansgar and North Butler. St. Ansgar is 23-3 and would have to be the favorite in that game. Do you know much about, you know, that team, and do you have any idea, you know, where that game would be played if that's who you end up meeting?
Yeah, Eli was fortunate enough to see their ace as well against AGWSR. And it was a great game, actually. St. Ansgar run late, like 6-5. They came back. Very good team. I think we're all good in this bracket, but they do seem to be the top. Thrower right around that 80-81 mark. They got kind of a 1 and a 2. They're scrappy and a lot of bunting as well, a lot of small ball. Mm-hmm. Top of their lineup, though, looks physical and, you know, dangerous, if you will. I don't know where you'd play it. I assume maybe just head north a little bit if they're trying to get a little more neutral.
Right.
Rollins up there or Ames. I got a little bit of a plan, but 99% of my time right now is winning this one.
Right. You'd be glad to play anybody, right?
Exactly.
And Lucas, your team has obviously got some experience playing in the pressure of that sub-state final. You know, if you guys do get back to that game, do you think you can benefit from the things that you learned in those last two games against Lindell Sully?
Yeah, I definitely think we can do. I mean, it's just a whole different ballgame once you get to that sub-state thing. It's a lot more pressure, a lot more need to execute on your game plan and everything you need to know. But I definitely think that we have the experience now, and we've won a lot of close games this year in the regular season. I think that'll really benefit us, and we'll just know how to find a way to win.
And Coach, I know you said a year ago that this team was hoping to get another shot at Linville solely in the postseason. And the only way that that will happen this year now is if both teams make it to state. And I'm sure you'd love to see them there. And you also said earlier this year that, you know, that this could be the best ACA team ever. Do you feel like this is the team that can get over that sub-state hump and make it to the state tournament for the first time in program history?
I really do. You know, I'm thinking, how do you win a game where you walk 11 and have 6-7 errors? And you do it because you can hit up and down the lineup and run like we run. I mean, and so that helps, you know, versus the Malachi and Eli years where we had to win 2-1 or 3-0 or 2-0, had to get 15, 16 strikeouts out of Eli or Malachi. And they had to perform at the top of the lineup or we weren't going to win. This team, I mean, it could be anybody and everybody. So it's also the most athletic team we've ever had by far. Like Lucas said, you know, put the ball in play and we're going to make the play 90% of the time. And I think our defense is going to be spot on. We may not win the game, but it won't be a defensive issue. I think it's going to be a battle. But, you know, when you get 11 walks, the defense gets a little stagnant. And obviously, I don't expect that out of our pitching staff. So I think our defense will be great.
And Lucas, as a senior, I'm sure you'd love to close out your high school career by playing in the state tournament. You know, what would that mean to you if you guys can accomplish that goal?
Oh, it definitely means something big. I mean, that's something I've always dreamed of doing. And something I've always wanted to do was to play at state and haven't been able to accomplish it yet. So last year definitely would be pretty special.
Well, the Class 1A state tournament will be played in Carroll beginning on July 20th. That's a pretty cool stadium over there because I remember covering an Ankeny sub-state game at Carroll a long, long time ago. You know, it'd be fun to go back and see that stadium again. So best of luck to both you guys on Saturday. And thanks a lot for coming in today. You know, we'll see you both up there at North Polk.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right. Well, my next guest is a realtor from Legacy Realty, and she's been on the podcast numerous times. She is Rhonda Dix. Rhonda, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Dan.
You bet. Well, how's your summer going? You been busy?
Yeah, busy. It seems like fast. I'm like, once you hit July 4th, it's like next thing you know, everyone's talking about schools getting back in session and state fair and hitting up their vacation. So yeah, fast and furious for sure.
I appreciate you coming in. I tried to get Kyle Clarkson on this week because of his ties with Ankeny Christian Academy, who we're focusing on today. Of course, his son, Cade, is a standout basketball player for the Eagles. But he told me he's out in Las Vegas. Cade is out there with his Kingdom Hoops team playing in a tournament out there.
Nice.
So even though it got pretty hot here yesterday, you know, we're not melting like they are in Vegas. I see it's supposed to be 111 degrees there today.
They can have it.
and I don't know if you've ever been to Vegas in the summertime, but my wife and I, we got married out there in August 31 years ago. So we know what it's like. It's pretty much like walking outside into
would
a
you do it again would you do it again
if I go I would go in the winter for sure.
Nice.
But I think we maybe discussed this topic before, but even so, we can talk about it again. I know sometimes when I'm biking around town that I'll see a for sale by owner sign on a house. So I assume that maybe that means that the person is trying to sell the house themselves and not using a real estate agent. Now, I don't know if there are many people that try to do that, but I'm sure you feel like the benefits of using a real estate agent, you know, would far outweigh whatever those buyers or sellers, you know, are hoping to gain by doing it themselves. So can you talk about, you know, why somebody would be better off by using the expertise of a real estate agent and not trying to get it go to loan?
Well, I think one of the myths is a lot of people that try to do it themselves think they're going to save extra money and maybe keep more of that. But I think their biggest mistake is they're relying on guesstimates or zestimates for, you know, pricing their home to begin with. And a lot of those are just straight averages and have never been in your home and can't give you credit where credit's due. So I think a lot of people that are doing that might shoot themselves in the foot and underprice their home. And instead, you know, if they have a realtor professional who actually does a market analysis and can compare them to current sales, we have access to so much more behind the scenes than the average person. So I think pricing right now is super important. Obviously, you want your home to appraise. There's so many things that can go wrong in a transaction. And people like to think that, you know, when they're not there, you know, the lights aren't on, their store's not open. So, you know, you might be missing prime showings during the day when you're at work. And I feel that a lot of people that come into your home as by owner, they're not going to necessarily be honest with you. They're not going to tell you straight to your face what they think. At least with a realtor professional, you can bounce some of those conversations, you know, off of an agent and ask for their advice too. So again, I think homes actually sell for more money when they're listed with a real estate professional, even when they've got selling costs involved.
Well, of course, you guys have different methods to list houses. And if somebody just wants to do it on their own, you know, they can put a sign in their yard, but they probably don't have the same avenues to promote the sale of their house, do they?
Yeah, and I know with social media now out there too, there's so many ways that you can, you know, advertise your home. But again, yes, there's so many more avenues and inner circles. You know, we've got our own posting boards behind the scenes. A lot of our homes actually sell even before they actually hit the market. It might be word of mouth within our own offices, within our own peers. So like I said, there's a lot to be said about that.
Well, do you have any specific properties that you're working with right now, or are you still just kind of doing the same old general thing?
Well, you know, a handful. Most of my resales are under contract, which is great for my sellers. I've got some new ones getting ready to come on the market, too. They want to capitalize on, you know, before the holiday market. And again, I know people are trying to position themselves before school starts again, too. So really, the market's a great time, you know, to jump in. But of course, I've got new construction with MJ Properties, and we're in a great position ourselves. We've got two completed market homes right now for those immediate buyers. We have some under construction for those that might need a little extra time but can still be in before the holidays. And of course, we have, you know, great home sites available over here just south of Costco in Pine Lake Estates. We've got seven new home sites available for custom builds too. So again, a little bit of something for everyone depending on where you're at in the marketplace. And right now, it's just a great time, you know, to ask questions. Realtor professionals are happy to answer your questions. Even if you think you want to go on your own at first, you know, we're always happy to do a market analysis for you. There's no charge for that. And, you know, just give some of our advice.
One other question I'll have for you before I let you go is, of course, we're still dealing with the ongoing inflation. We have this war that's never seemed to end. That raises the cost of everything, I assume. So is that affected like the price of homes as well?
You know, that's interesting. We've seen it in some price points. I'm finding in the higher end, those people are in great financial positions to begin with. They've got great equities in their current homes, or they've got money stashed away. So they're not as affected, I would say, by the interest rates and some of the day-to-day costs. Even some of our less expensive homes, you know, we're starting to see some multiple offers on some of those too. So again, kind of in that middle zone, I would say, you know, that 400 to 600, you know, some of that gets a little sluggish only because some of those first time home buyers are you know, just hesitant to get into the marketplace. But right now there's some great first time home buyer programs out there. A couple of the local lenders are, there's a $15,000 grant out there for a Home Start program. Military members, there's in Iowa, there's a $5,000 grant, and that's not for first-time homebuyers. There's a lot of free money on the table right now, so I would say connect with your realtor professional if you're a first-time homebuyer and take advantage of some of those deals.
All right, Ron. Well, thanks a lot for coming today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast and is the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic 2. We appreciate their support. All right, well, my next guest is the head coach of the Ankeny Christian Academy softball team, and he has been with the program since it started with the 2023-24 season. He has guided the Eagles to an overall record of 57-13, including a 22-3 mark this year. His team opened postseason play on Wednesday with a 7-0 victory over North Tama in a Class 1A district quarterfinal at North Polk. He is James Crosby. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, congratulations on the win last night. You told me afterwards that you guys had a plan going in and the girls executed it pretty much according to plan. You really didn't have a lot to complain about, did you?
No, it went great. It was pretty much exactly what we drew up, so worked nice.
Well, it took you guys a few innings to get on the scoreboard, but the way that Brett Benz was pitching, you really didn't have a lot to worry about. She tossed a four-hitter and had 8 strikeouts, and she closed it out by retiring the last 9 batters that she faced. North Tama did not have a runner advance past second base. So what was the key to her success last night?
Well, you know, we try to attack early in the count, try to get up and then work around the batter. So we have a very solid defense, especially on the infield last night. So one work ground balls, get those pop flies in the infield and keep them off balance a bit.
Well, there was a little bit of a scare in the last inning when Brett had a line drive hit right back at her and it actually knocked the glove right out of her hand. She told me afterwards that she didn't get hurt, but I'll bet your heart probably skipped a beat, didn't it?
I actually think I might have been the only one there other than Brett that wasn't worried about it, because I saw it and I saw it took her glove off and I'm like, oh, that's straight off the glove. Everybody else in the dugout was like, ooh, but yeah, it was a fun play.
You just never know about those injuries. I was at a game earlier in the day where the Valley pitcher was at bat against Centennial, and she took a pitch right off her throwing hand or her wrist. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe she'd have to come out, but it turns out she was able to come back in. So anyway, but Brett is now 13-3 on the season. She has a 2.46 ERA, and your daughter Cicely has been the team's other pitcher. She's posted a 9-0 mark with a 1.91 ERA. I'll be talking to both of those girls here in a few minutes, but you know, I'm sure you have confidence in both of them when they're in the circle. And I haven't seen Cicely pitch before, but do the two girls have similar pitching styles, or do they have some differences?
No, they're quite different. Cicely really, she pitches more spin, hitting locations, trying to get bad contact off batters. Brett has a little bit more velocity, so we can work the strikeout game a little harder with her.
Well, I'm sure you have, you know, confidence in both of them, and at some point you may need both of them, right?
We may.
Well, Caitlin Weathers sparked the team's offense last night. She went 3-for-4 with 2 doubles and 2 RBIs. She's now batting nearly .500 on the season with 2 homers and 21 RBIs. Brees Benz leads the way for your lineup. She entered last night's game with a .673 average, 5 homers and 23 RBIs. And the sophomore shortstop was named at midseason as one of the 15 Player of the Year candidates by the Des Moines Register. So those two, followed by Gabby Quick and Cicely, you know, who are also batting around .500. You know, you have to feel like the top of your lineup is about as dangerous as anyone, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Breeze isn't just leading our team. She's leading all hitters in Class 1A, so that's a big tool to have at the top of the lineup. But I would take R5 over any 1A top 5 in the state. I mean, they're super solid, and that's tough to drill through.
The bottom of your lineup also produced last night. Abby Farron hit a double to ignite your four-run fourth inning that really put the game away. Your number nine hitter, Livy Johnson, kept the rally going when she reached on an error and then stole second before Breeze had an RBI triple. Caitlin had an RBI double, and Gabby had an RBI single, and that completed the scoring. Now, you guys stole several bases last night, and you told me afterwards that you guys like to cause some chaos on the base paths, and you'll keep doing it, right, until the opponent shows that they can stop it?
Sometimes there's a little too much chaos, like you saw with Caitlin last night, but yeah, we want to do that. We want to force them to make plays on us, so we're going to stay aggressive.
Well, your team will now play at Martinsdale St. Mary's in a regional semifinal on Friday at 7 p.m. The Blue Devils are 14-15 after advancing with a 6-1 win over BCLUW. They got a four-hitter and nine strikeouts from McLean German, while the top three hitters in their lineup combined to go 7-11 with five RBIs. Now, your team did drop a 7-6 decision at Martinsdale on June 8th, so you do know a little bit about the Blue Devils. You know, I know they've been ranked at times this season, and they've got a program with a pretty rich tradition, don't they?
They do. They're a really solid team, and they have coaches that have been there. They know how to win tight games. They got players that have been there. They know how to win those tight games. So it's going to be a hard game for us.
What do you think is going to be the keys for your team to come out on top?
Well, I mean, we do thrive, as we talked about, that top five lineup, but also turning over in the bottom, getting balls in play, moving runners around. If we can keep hitting, we think we can go take a win there.
Well, the winner of this game will advance to Monday's regional final. Third-ranked Fort Dodge St. Edmund is on the opposite side of the bracket, but its game against AGWSR was postponed last night, so those two teams will actually meet tonight. The winner of that game will then play Collins Maxwell tomorrow. So do you expect St. Edmund to emerge from that side of the bracket?
Well, they're the one seed, so that's kind of what you project, but we're trying not to get too far ahead. And they have a tough one against Collins Maxwell, too. That's another team with a lot of history. Coaches that have been there, they've done it. They know what they're doing, too.
Well, if you guys do advance to end up playing St. Edmund, you know, I'm sure that's a challenge that your girls, you know, would relish, wouldn't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it should be a fun postseason here the rest of the way. I'm looking forward to it. Coach, thanks for coming in today.
Appreciate it.
Yep. All right, well, my final two guests today are a pair of seniors on the Eagles squad. To my left is a pitcher and catcher for the Eagles, who is 13-3 with a 2.46 ERA, and she's batting .441 with two home runs and 30 RBIs. She is Brett Benz. Brett, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
You bet. To my right is a pitcher and first baseman who is 9-0 with a 1.91 ERA. At the plate, she is batting .487 with two homers and a team-high 32 RBIs. She is Cicely Crosby. Cicely, thanks for joining me. How you doing? Well, I'm just going to bounce some questions back and forth between the two of you. Brett, let's start with you. Coach told me after the game last night that the strategy was to crowd the infield and make North Tama hit the ball through or over your infield because you guys were trying to take away their bunts and slaps. But you were able to rack up eight strikeouts, so when they weren't even, you know, putting the ball in play, you don't have to worry about where they hit it. Well, what would you say was your biggest strikeout pitch last night? Was it your fastball?
Yeah, I was pounding the inside corner a lot. They weren't swinging at it with an 0-2 count or even in any count, really. They weren't swinging at the ones inside, so I just kept pounding it there, hopefully they would either swing and miss or not swing at all.
Cicely, your dad told me that this was probably one of the best defensive games that you guys have played all year. Liz Johnson made a nice catch in right field to take a hit away, and Breeze Benz turned an unassisted double play earlier in the game. Do you feel like that's one of the strengths of this team, you know, the ability to make plays on defense?
I think it is. I think that we have a really solid defense, especially when everybody's there. There's a lot of games where it's been really tight, and we need to make the play, and we make it. I mean, there's innings we've had runners on second and third, and they still don't score because we can make the plays. And I think our defense is just really good at not getting rattled. You know, if a runner gets on, whatever, we'll get them out or we'll get the next out.
Brett, you told me that you were just trying to throw strikes and that you had confidence in your defense to make the plays when you needed them. Does that make your job easier when you know that you can rely on your teammates?
Yeah, it makes me feel really confident and relaxed up there. I know that my sister at shortstop, she's really good at getting balls up the middle, so I don't have to worry too much about trying to make plays myself sometimes. I'm very confident in all of my fielders that they'll get the pop-ups, get the ground balls, whatever I do to get the ball in play, just make sure they don't get free bases.
And Cicely, as a fellow pitcher, I guess that makes you qualified to assess Brett's performance in the circle. You know, what can you say about the way that she pitched last night?
I think it was great. It was exactly what we needed. I mean, she got those strikeouts, which were a big help. And other than that, they weren't really getting that good of contact off of her. It was mostly on the ground or short in the air, which allowed us to make plays on those balls.
you could tell right away that you know, she was on top of her game, that you probably wouldn't need to pitch last night?
Well, warming up, I was pretty sure I wasn't going to have to pitch, and she did her thing, which I'm very grateful for.
Well, before we look ahead, I wanted to ask you guys a couple of questions about, you know, how we got to where we are today. Brett, of course, this is your first year with the ACA program after transferring over from Ankeny. As one of the few seniors on the squad, did you try to come in and become, you know, one of the team leaders right away?
Yeah, I was looking forward to having the four great seniors that we have, just doing our best as we can, living, playing under God. And I was really excited to come join my sister, be able to play with her for one last time.
Well, yeah, I'm just going to ask you about that. So was that one of the reasons why you decided to come back to ACA?
Yeah, I've been looking to go to ACA to be with her, be with my brother, who's they've all been here since COVID. And I finally got a spot in our big senior class that we have. They finally had an opening. So I was like, I'll take it.
And Cicely, I remember watching you play in the regionals last year when you were coming off your knee injury. And even though you batted, you were really struggling to run. And I noticed last night that you're still wearing a knee brace. You know, how's your knee doing?
It definitely could be better. I have Osgood-Schlatter's disease in my knee, which is a big part of it. So, like, even though I dislocated it last year, even coming off of that, I still have, like, kind of an all-the-time injury. So, you know, I'm just trying to play it safe. I've actually dealt with a lot of contact this year. Like, I got ran over playing first base once, so I'm wearing the brace just to prevent anything else from happening because I'd like to stay healthy.
I was going to ask you if it's been a longer road to recovery than you thought it would be, but it sounds like it's something you're going to have to deal with for a long time, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Brett, coming over to ACA this year, you know, what kind of expectations did you have? You probably knew that the team needed to replace its top pitcher from last year, Katie Quick. So do you feel like that was a void that you could help fill?
Yeah, I was really excited. I knew that we'd have a lot of good players, Cicely, Breeze, Caitlin, even the rest of our girls who play school ball. They're really good and confident. I'm confident in them that we'll be able to go far. And I'm just excited that I was able to fill Katie's hole, even though I might not be exactly what she was. I'm glad that I can give the team what they need.
Cicely, what about you? What kind of expectations, you know, did you have? Did you think this was a team that could still be really competitive, you know, even after losing Katie?
I did. I thought we could be really competitive because, you know, losing Katie is a big hole, but we have a lot of people behind her, and we also had a lot of help from eighth graders coming up this year. I knew we had some good eighth graders coming in, and I knew that, like, the rest of our team, we still have the core group from when we first started, and so I think we're more of a family now, and we're much grittier this season than we were last year, and I think that comes with just having played together more. And so I really thought that even though we were losing Katie, I knew that Brett was coming in, and we still had our returning players, and I knew that we could be good.
The team has lost only three games all year after dropping a 9-1 decision at Southeast Warren on June 16th. Your team has rattled off 11 consecutive wins now. Brett, let's talk about Martinsdale St. Mary's, if I can talk here. You pitched against them in the earlier game. You allowed three earned runs on seven hits while striking out five. What do you remember about their lineup?
I remember they had a couple bunters, really fast girls that would bunt, and we just weren't on our bunting game that day. We've been working a lot at bunting in practice, so hopefully we can execute those bunts and just get the outs when we need them.
Well, both of you had at least one hit in that game against the Blue Devils, who used two different pitchers in that game. German tossed the last three innings, and she got the win in that game. And she appears to be their number one pitcher based on their stats. So, Cicely, what do you remember about her, if anything?
I remember a lot of strikes. I know, like, I was telling girls, go up there and hit a ball, because I didn't think that she was going to, like, completely overpower everybody, but she wasn't going to give you free bases either. You're going to have to go out there and hit one, and so I hope that's what we continue to do.
And Brett, looking at the Martinsdale lineup, it appears that shortstop Shelby Woods is the team's best hitter. She's batting .472 with five homers and 40 RBIs, but the rest of the team is combined to hit only one home run. So it's not a team that relies on the long ball, is it?
No, they do a lot of bunts, a lot of short in the hole type of hits. So we just got to have our defense on hand, and hopefully we get the outs when we need them.
And Cicely, are you confident that if your defense, you know, can just make those routine plays and not give them any free bases, that you'll be able to prevent them from having any big innings? Because they did have one big inning in that earlier game. They scored four runs to tie it up at five. So is that kind of what the plan is?
I think if our defense plays tight, that they won't have any big innings. I mean, last game, I really wasn't, like, overly impressed with their hitting. They didn't seem to have a ton of power. They were playing small ball, and our defense just didn't have it that day. But coming off of last game's night, we covered the slot, we covered the bunts. I know we're ready and we're expecting it. We know that that's what they have to do because they don't have, like, a ton of power hitters in their lineup, so they're going to go play small ball, and we just need to cover it.
Before I let you guys go, I just wanted to ask you about your future plans. Brett, I know you've committed to play for Simpson, and they're coming off an appearance in the Division III National Championships. What attracted you to the Simpson program?
I love the coach. He came, contacted me early, asked if I would want to check out the campus, check out the facilities and stuff. I just loved it. The small, close-knit community, which is amazing. I love the players, love the campus, love the professors, loved everything while I was there, and just how small and close to home it was.
Mm-hmm. And specifically, what about you? Are you planning to play in college?
Yeah, I'm committed and signed to go play at Dort University up in Sioux Center.
Oh, okay. What did you like about their school?
Well, I've been talking to the coach since I was in eighth grade. It's how I found out about the school is through their softball program. So then I decided to go and visit the campus, and I just loved it. It felt like home from the first time I went there. There's great people there, great professors. It's a smaller school, which is something I was looking for. It's Christ-centered, which is something I was looking for. And honestly, it just checked every box.
Well, ladies, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it. Good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you.
You bet. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Relief of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Whether you're buying or selling, choosing the right real estate agent is key. With Legacy Realty, you'll work with a dedicated agent from our team of 75-plus professionals who know the Ankeny market like the back of their hand. Our agents provide personalized service to meet your unique needs and goals, ensuring your real estate journey is smooth and successful. As one of the largest brokerages in the area, we leverage the latest tools, resources, and marketing strategies backed by the power of LPT Realty to give you the edge in today's competitive market. At Legacy Realty of Iowa, it's not just about a transaction, it's about building your legacy. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. If I can remember them all, we had quite a group come in today. We had ACA baseball coach Conrad Christensen and senior Lucas Erickson. We had realtor Rhonda Dix, and then we had ACA softball coach James Crosby, along with two of his players, Brett Benz and Cicely Crosby. I appreciate the time from all those folks today, and come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.